this is tough. I mean, right now my head is like ready to explode, like just in the thoughts of what's going on. And I don't know if I'm even appropriate enough to say it, what the players are feeling and how they're feeling. And I haven't talked to any of the players. I'm just like coming in, even like driving here, getting into the studio, hearing calls and people talking. And for me, I think the biggest thing now is to kind of, as a black man, as a former player, I think it's best for me to support the players and just not be here tonight.
Shout out to Kenny Smith.
My son will be my resurrection.
Yeah.
Constantly learning lessons. I never die. You get the message. I hope you be better than I. Life's precious. Two-stepping. Sometimes I'm over black. Even my clothes are black. Cash money with the white tee and the soldier rag. We going ultra black. Unapologetically black. The opposite of Doja Cat. Michael Black's in black. We going ultra black. I got a toast to that. We don't fold the crack.
Yes, yes, yes. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. We're going to start off right. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. It is all love. Baby, getting straight to it. Thank you so much for everyone who is joining me today on this Friday. Yes, Friday of the Ken's Corner podcast. As always, I thank you. You could have been doing anything else. However, you chose to start your day or afternoon, because we post in the afternoon, you decided to spend your afternoon with me. As always, please, please, please interact on all the social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Ken's Corner. And you can also interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That is www.kenscorner.co. The great thing about having a podcast that you know, it isn't period. The great thing about having a podcast is that you control when you post. You control when you put the content out. You control what you say. You are the creator. You are the boss. You can say whatever it is you want to say. However, there are repercussions to what you say. So always, please be responsible on your platform. This week was a very challenging week because normally I post on Wednesday, the podcast post on Wednesday. However, I am very spiritual. I'm very sensitive to the spirit. And excuse me, the spirit kept saying, just wait, just wait, just wait, just wait. And I wasn't understanding why, because the one thing I always want to do is be consistent. Now, being spiritual does not mean being inconsistent. However, you have in my life, I have to be very intentional and listen, to what the spirit is telling me to do. And as I waited, it seems like the world just erupted. Now, I know figuratively it didn't. However, it just seemed that way. And it all started with when Jacob Blake got shot 7 times in the back. And as I unfortunately watched the video, I watched it up into the car, I was just mortified, because I do my best to not really engage in those videos because I always want to be sensitive. I never want this violence. I never want these things to be desensitize me to what is going on. And when I saw it and then was reading the reports, so far what has been reported, again, and please always fact check for yourself. And if I'm wrong, I do apologize. I don't do it to stir any type of emotions or try to lean one way toward lean one way toward another. It's just, this is what I've read so far. So this isn't intentional to incite anything. He was going to, somehow he was involved in a fight that he was breaking up. He was breaking up a fight between two females, and the police were called. At that time, what happened, nobody knows. Well, people know. It just hasn't been released yet. Let me make sure I use my language correctly. It hasn't been released yet. What happened when the police showed up, some type of scuffle ensued. And then where the video picks up, you see him walking to his truck. And you see, I believe, three officers following him. And somebody grabbed his shirt, and then he gets into the car, and then that's when he gets shot in the back. Now, the thing for me that was so appalling is the fact that not only was he didn't have a weapon in his hand, he was going to his truck. He's walking away. His children were in the truck, and they had to witness their father being shot. And I know too many police officers to know that you have to assess the scene. You have to make sure, like, what's your surroundings. And you shot a man in the back that was clearly walking away. Now, could he have been walking to his car to get a gun or a weapon? That is possible, and that is feasible. However, there was enough time for you to engage him in a way that you could have tackled him to the ground or something else where it didn't result of him being shot in the back in front of his kids. And it just did something to me. It's, you know how you snap and then you snap again. I'm old enough to have been living when the Rodney King situation happened, and you saw it on videotape. You just saw the utter brutality on videotape. And as a black person, I said, well, there is no way in hell that these officers, whatever he did, it was justified for that. And we just, I ain't gonna lie, I had hope that, you know, it's cut and dry. It's on video. And when those cops were acquitted, it just did something to me. I think that's one of those moments where I was watching this documentary talking about the healing as far as mental health, as far as African Americans, and it's this healing circle, and I believe it's on Vice. And one of the questions that were asked is, when was the first time you realized you were black? Now, there were moments before that Rodney King situation, but that Rodney King situation was one of those moments that you started to define what it meant to be a descendant of Africans here in America, because you were just literally like, okay, there's no, because you were always taught about being fair. You were always taught about if you do the right thing. You were always taught at the time that the police was here to protect you, that the laws were fair for everyone. That's what you were taught. And then when you saw that, it was like, okay, obviously, there are two different Americas. Obviously, there is an America for white people. There's an America for descendants of Africans. And if you really want to be technical, there's many different Americas, because the Latinx, learning my proper pronouns, that community sees America in a different way. The Asian community sees America a different way. The Native Americans definitely see America a different way. So there's, you know, there's all these groups that see America in a particular way. However, through my lens, it's just so disheartening. And as you grow up, you continue on, and life continues to happen. And these type of moments build calluses on your heart. It builds calluses on your mind. It builds calluses on your eyes and how you view things. And you have to be intentional to make sure those calluses don't build up. But then when you see things like the Freddie Grays, and you see the things as the Tamir Rice, and if you see the things as the Breonna Taylor, if you see the things as the Sandra Bland, and when you see the things as the Jamal Crawfords, when you see the things as the George Floyd's, when you see the things as the Jacob Blake's, when you see all of these things and you see nothing happens to these people, it just does something to your mental. Then the spirit kept saying, wait, because I was like, well, let me go ahead and jump on this. Spirit kept saying, nope, wait, wait, wait. And then you have, and I'm not even going to say his name, you have this 17-year-old terrorist go out and it starts shooting people. And the reports is that this terrorist didn't even live where he was shooting and was able to walk freely in this area, to my knowledge, that it is illegal for anyone to carry a long rifle under the age of 21. It's either 18 or 21. He's 17. Was able to walk past police. He was taken in, you know, when things finally happened, he was gently taken into custody. You know, this is the two different Americas that we live in. And I just, it's heartbreaking because, again, here is a system set up for us to fail. It's like the system is set, like the system, the foundation of why we were, are these Africans, us descendants of Africans are here. The system is set up to always remind us that we are not, it's not for you. Excuse me. And, you know, you sit there and you try, you do your best to rationalize it. You do your best. But then, you know, something told me, it's like, no, this is not normal. And you should not have to rationalize this. So therefore, I'm triggered. Now I'm triggered. I'm triggered, triggered, triggered. And, you know, I have some BS going on at work, and I'm triggered. I was going to go ahead. Spirit said, just wait one more moment. And then the NBA happened. The Milwaukee Bucks, all of the teams in the playoffs decided, you know what, we're not playing. We're not playing. And there was a jolt of energy that was, you know, put in me, because this is what we as a people, we want to see. Well, some of us don't want to see it. I'm not going to speak for everybody. But these people, they put their livelihood on a pause to bring awareness to something else. And then Kenny Smith happened. And to sit there and watch that, literally, even playing that clip just now, still brings my eyes waters up. When I first saw it, my eyes literally watered up and tears came down my face, because at some point in time, you got to be on the right side of right. You just have to be on the right side of right. And that's something that I can speak in my own personal life has always been a struggle, because now I would like to say that right is something that many different people can define what is right. It is not something that is concrete. The word is slipping my mind right now. It's all relative. You know, right can be defined by different people with different things. So that's what a lot of times disputes and arguments happen, because one person thinks they're right and another person thinks they're right. And then they engage into, you know, a verbal debate. Sometimes it escalates to something physical. But for me, the right side of right is that spirit, just like I talked about in even leading into this podcast. The right side of right has cost me people that used to be close to me, because I'm going to be on the right side of right. There have been times that I've done things to go with the crowd, even though I'm a leader. I've done some things to appease other people's feelings, and it just eats me up inside, because I know that this what's doing ain't right. You know, I well, I don't know what the statutes of limitations are. Let's just say I was engaged in some activities that weren't right. And there was a time that someone came to me and told me that the activities that we were engaged in and how it affected some people. And I went to the group and expressed my concern for what, you know, happened, and the group decided that they were not going to, make reconciliation of the situation. And so I went and made reconciliation by myself. And that particular situation could have caused me physical harm. And nobody came with me. I had to be on the right side of right. And I define bravery as you're scared to do something, but you go ahead anyway and do it because it's right. It's just the right thing to do. And in the situation that I dealt in personally, I was able to pick up a mentor because the mentor was like, what you did was foul. What you did was just bad. What you did was crazy. But I know you wasn't the only person that was engaged in this activity. Who else did it? And there's this, the code of the street. You don't say nothing. I was like, you know, it was just me. I know it wasn't you, man. Just say something. I'm like, hey, it was just me. He was like, you got a lot of guts, man. He's like, you know what? You got a lot of character. Even in the midst of doing something wrong, when it came time to do something right, you have a lot of character. And from this to this day, I was able to get a mentor from that situation. And another situation came back around, and he stood up, and he was that voice in the room and said, no, give this young man a chance because I know his character. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes you just have to stand up for what is right. In the rights, be on that right side of right. And in doing that, that's going to cost you some things. It may cost you some type of things that you're comfortable with. Luxuries, that's the word I want to use. And as luxuries may be certain type of relationships that may change. And I'm not just saying just stand up and just arbitrarily just throw some things out there or just argue for the sake of just arguing. That is not what I'm saying. When you see that there are systems that are wrong and you have a voice to make it right, stand up for what is right. Yes, people are going to look at you. Yes, you're going to be alienated. Yes, you may not be as popular as you once were. But when everything comes down and history is played out, and then when people go back and start listening to the story and start seeing what was going on, they can't, within truth, say, you know what, this person was a bad person or this person did this. They may say a lot of stuff, but it's like, man, this person always stood up for what they believed, what was right. And that is one of those things that I'm just so thankful that God gave me that type of will, that type of drive. I remember another one of my good friends, he said this was a while back, and this was a situation that affected our friend group. This was several years ago, affected our friend group. And he said, the one thing about you, dog, he said, you're going to stand for what's right. He just said, you're going to, and the thing about it, the situation put me at opposition of him. And again, this is not me bragging or anything like that. He said, man, one thing I've always admired about you, he said that you are willing to stand up for what is right. You are willing to hold on to that thing. You are willing to stay that course. And that's what Kenny Smith did. That's what the NBA did. That's what John Carlos did. That's what Tommy Smith did. That's what Muhammad Ali did. That's what all of these great people that we admire now. During the time, Muhammad Ali wasn't celebrated. during the time John Carlos and Tommy Smith weren't celebrated, during the time Arthur Ashe wasn't celebrated, during those times, these people weren't celebrated, but they used their platform to fight for what's right. And now, us descendants, we look back, and even though, you know, people tried to, you know, the history at the time tried to paint them as villains, we can look back and say, wait a minute. No, they're heroes. And it's that inspiration that continues the next generation to do it. Now, conversely, there's another group and segment of people that feel like what they're standing up for is right. I have to be, you know, keep the same energy. And what I'm going to do is present the facts and say, hey, I don't think that this is right. But as for me and what God told me to do, I'm going to stand for what's right. And in doing that, and I think also what that illustration shows with Kenny Smith and Shaq and Charles Barkley. Now, you have Ernie there also. This is the TNT situation. So you have one Caucasian and you have three descendants of Africans. One stood up and said, you know what? I can't do this. This don't feel right for me. And left. And the other two stayed. And they gave their perspectives and everything that. Now, what that's going to do is cause conversation and debate within the African, descendants of the African community as to who's right. But the one thing that I want to say is that Kenny Smith never said in that moment, at least, in that moment, he didn't look to his left and to his right and say, I don't understand why y'all ain't doing it. He stood up and said, I can't do this. And in that moment, God confirmed a situation that I'm going through right this second. It's people upset because just because I said that God told me something, that don't mean that you don't hear from God. I'm not saying that you didn't hear from God. I'm not saying that you don't have a relationship with God. I'm not saying that you, I'm not vilifying you. But I have to do what God told me to do, what is right. And I believe I'm on the right side of right. That's just how I believe. But I don't mean, again, I'm not vilifying you. And I think that that's where it gets, you know, tricky, especially within interpersonal relationships. But as far as a movement, as far as things of that nature, I just always recommend, and I just always just the words can't come to me because I'm just trying not to get emotional on the mic, is that enough is enough. And we have to stand up for what's right within your own circle, within your own sphere. You know, and the thing is, we need everybody to do what they do to get to the finish line so that as a group, we can get to the finish line without tearing somebody down for why they believe what they believe. If so long as not interfering what I'm doing, man, do you. That's how I just look at life. If it ain't interfering what I'm doing, do you. I may not agree with it, and I think you may sound nuts while you're doing it, but if it's not directly interfering with me, I'm going to let you be. Now, if we are part of a group and I feel like what you're doing within my group is counterproductive, then I'll approach you and say, hey, I believe what you're doing is counterproductive, and how can we work together to work this out? Then that's when you engage and use your proper communication skills. But other than that, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what is, I'm going to go to my grave believing that I'm going to be on the right side of right, that I set my heart to be on the right side of right. And in being and in doing that and being humble while you're doing that, if you are wrong and if you made a mistake and then if you decide that, you know what, maybe what I did affected somebody in a negative way, maybe what I did may not have, you know, playing out, be man and woman enough to come back and apologize. And that's another thing that I like that I do. I'm really quick to apologize. So I just want to shout out the NBA. Thank you for using your platform to bring awareness. I love what Chris Webber said. And he says, and Chris Webber is one of my top five favorite players of all time, always have been since he was at University of Michigan. And he said, I hear people talking about what's next, what's next. Well, I don't know what's next. But the first thing we need to do is get attention. Everything may not be planned out, but now that there's attention, now this is where we call upon our leaders and our scholars and all those proclaimed leaders. Okay, we got their attention. Now what else? What else? What are we going to do now? And some of us can just figure it out along the way. But the first thing we have to do is bring attention. The first thing we have to do is bring awareness. Sometimes the first thing we have to do is disrupt the whole freaking system. You know, I'm going to say that for another podcast. But, you know, we have to sometimes disrupt systems. And when the system is disrupted, and then people are like, what's going on? Then you're able, they're at a point to, you know, to maybe listen, like, okay, because they're confused, because what happened is that what they thought was normal is no longer normal anymore. So now they're thrown off their square. So now it's the time sometimes to introduce what is right, or what your version of right is, and then we can have dialogue about it. So as always, man, I just want to pray for your safety. Please, everyone, no matter what color you are, please be careful out there. Always remember, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Let's never get it twisted with what my stance is. I want to pray for Jacob Blake. The reports is that he may be paralyzed, or he will be paralyzed. So we just ask that he is healed. But however, as of right now, please, and we need to protect him, because now that he lived and he's able to tell his side of the story, now we're going to see what happened and transpired. What was his perception? I need those people in the streets to protect the streets. Protect your people from these terrorists, like this little 17-year-old. I'm not even going to say his name on my platform, because he's a terrorist. His family should be arrested. Reports is his mother drove him down there. She is responsible. And try him as an adult. Do every way. And then you had the police down there justifying it to, well, if they weren't out, then they wouldn't have got shot. Well, he was out. They were standing for a cause. What was he doing? What was his cause for? He slaughtered somebody. He killed someone. They can't come back. So again, stay safe out there. Please, as always, you can interact with me. And please make sure that when you listen to this podcast, that you download, that you stream. Please continue to stream. Please continue to build this trust base with me and spread this trust base. I'm not going to call it a fan base. I want to continue to build this trust base with the King's Corner podcast. I see the vision. I see where God is taking me, and it's scary, but I'm going to do it. It's scary, but I'm going to do it. So thank you so much for believing in me. Thank you so much for supporting me. As always, on all my social media, it's Ken's Corner at Twitter, podcast, at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And also you can interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. And as always, and I really mean it every time I say it, it just gives me energy. Thank you so much, Dr. Thomas, for instilling this statement into me, this mantra. I love, I trust, and I respect you. This is Ken of Ken's Corner Podcast. Peace. Just to make a living.